You're listening to Fritz and Friends on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And welcome back to Fritz and Friends. Cheryl Fritz here. Scott Eckersley producing, coming to you on 1320 WILS and streaming live on 1320WILS.com. Pleased to be joined on the phone now by Mary Spacuzza, who is the government reporter for the Wisconsin State Journal. Good evening, Mary. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you doing?
I'm doing awfully well. It's a Friday. It's a back-in-court day in Wisconsin. A judge who ground to the halt the Wisconsin's collective bargaining law by declaring it wasn't yet in effect was back in the courtroom today for the next round in the battle in Wisconsin over the rights of state workers to negotiate their pay and benefits. They were in court over a I've got my notes right in front of me here, over the violation of the Open Meetings Act. What happened this afternoon?
Well, there was some questioning on the stand. One person who spoke is the Senate Chief Clerk, Rob Marchant, who's an attorney, and he was questioned about the notice that was given for this controversial conference committee meeting. He said that he first heard they were talking about having this meeting on Monday. The meeting was held 2 days later on a Wednesday evening, but he didn't really know if the meeting was definitely taking place. And it sounds like even Democrats who were going to be participating in the meeting didn't find out until Wednesday evening, the day of the meeting, less than 2 hours before. So he said he was given no reason why the 24 hours notice that's required by the state's open meetings law was not met. He said that he was given, quote, like no good reason. So he really didn't know why, if they were planning to have this meeting for several days beforehand, why they waited about, you know, less than 2 hours to notify people. But the judge, you know, I think there were a lot of questions about why was notice given at about 4:18 that evening for a 6 p.m. meeting. A lot of some people in the public testified and said that they were in line. They heard about the meeting after 4 p.m. They rushed to the Capitol to try to get there and that they were not allowed in the building. Again, saying that the a whole idea that the state capitol is supposed to be open to the public during open meetings was called into question. One staffer from a Democratic office testified that he spoke to and collected names from 3,000 people who had tried to get into the meeting who couldn't, some of whom couldn't even get into the building itself. And apparently only, I was in the meeting that day, and there was a very small number of the public that were actually in the room, and I was told that out of the several thousand who were trying to get in, only about 20 people were allowed in.
Does that qualify as letting the public in? Let's pull out the time factor for a minute, and I know we can't really in the whole case, but having those 20 or so members of the public in there, does that qualify for it to be an open meeting and public meeting?
You know, I think it could if they could just say there was an actual room in the room itself. However, if you have people saying that they were standing outside and couldn't even get into the Capitol itself until after the meeting ended, that does really raise questions about whether, you know, the state constitution says that the state capitol is supposed to be open to the public when public meetings are occurring. And if there are people who can't get into the building, that raises more questions about whether the building truly was open to the public.
True. And now several of the Republicans have stated that it was a special meeting or an emergency meeting, and therefore they didn't need to do the 24-hour notice. Did that subject come up today?
That subject did come up today, and I think the question is, can you have a rule for a legislative body that can kind of trump the state's open meetings law? And I don't think that that's really been clearly decided, except it didn't seem like the judge was too convinced that if you decide to have a meeting, you can just have one and the state's open meeting law doesn't come into play.
And I have, as you and I have talked before, I have had, at least one of the Democratic senators who was in Illinois at the time of the meeting that we're discussing. And, he said, we couldn't have gotten there, could have gotten there in 24-hour notice, certainly not in the 2-hour notice, just under.
Yeah, one lawmaker actually got in his car and started trying to drive towards the Capitol and turned around because he couldn't even get close to Madison by the time the meeting was over.
Now, it sounded from some of the reports I heard today that Governor Scott Walker, has he acquiesced in a way? And because earlier in the week, he was kind of defiant, saying we're going to go ahead with the law because it was published by the Legislative Reference Bureau rather than the Secretary of State. But it sounds like he has now said he will comply with the court order.
Yes, correct. He said yesterday they put out a statement basically after the judge very early yesterday morning issued a follow-up order saying not only is the Secretary of State enjoined from publishing the law, but I am declaring that the law was not published with the definition of Wisconsin statutes. It's not in effect, meaning it's really not a full law. And she was really clear in her order. And once that came down, the governor's office and the State Department of Administration said that they would comply because they really, at that point, I think they would have been risking contempt of court if they went ahead with a judge saying it's not a real full law.
And one of the other things that I've heard about, Mary, and I'm throwing a lot of different things at you, is that the judge in this case is a circuit court judge, Mary Ann Sumi, if I'm pronouncing that correct. I hope I am,
yep.
Her last name. Whether or not she actually even had the authority to rule is limited to a constitutional question, but the open meetings violation doesn't rise to that level. Have you heard any talk about this, whether she had the authority over a legislative body?
There's been a lot of criticism from Republican leaders calling her an activist judge, saying that she's overreaching and trying to interfere with the legislative and executive process. And, you know, they've kind of called her a liberal activist judge. It's interesting because she was actually appointed by longtime Republican Governor Tommy Thompson and is not a Democratic appointee. And I think by a lot of people who know her, not really considered to be a activist judge. But I do think that there are, you know, Republicans are raising concerns and feeling like this isn't within her authority. And I think a lot of us won't be surprised if it goes to the Supreme Court.
Well, and that was my next line of questioning with you. Yeah, that just sounded like we were in court. Sorry, Mary. You've spent enough time there lately dealing with this issue. This could remain on hold. The implementation of this law or what happens with this law next sounds like it could remain on hold for an awfully long time.
It could. It could. And they have said that that lawmakers could pass this law again, and Republican leaders have been very clear saying, we don't want to pass it again. We passed it once. We don't want to vote again. The other option is the judge has said that the lawmakers could come and have their day in court and take the stand and answer questions, and that might resolve things quicker. But again, both of the Fitzgerald brothers, who are the leaders in the Senate and Assembly, have said legislative immunity, they don't have to come to court. And that immunity could end with the end of session, but there are different interpretations of when the end of session is. And if you go by the full 2-year session that we just started, it could potentially be May 2012.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Yeah, and I think that's the longest interpretation. Some might just interpret it as the end of session being the end of kind of this session period and maybe May of this year, but if you go by the full 2-year session calendar, it would be a long time.
Meanwhile, going on around all of this are recall efforts and threats against some Republican lawmakers that I recently read about as well in Wisconsin.
Yeah, there was actually just a woman who was charged last night or yesterday with sending threatening emails to Republican senators and I believe Governor Walker. It sounds like she's actually a daycare provider who studied early childhood education, and I think that she's going to be facing some felony and misdemeanor charges. There are also, I've been told that some Democrats have gotten some threats now at this point for holding up the bill. Other than that, there was a group that just turned in the first bunch of recall signatures against a Republican senator who voted in favor of the bill. It sounds like they met their goal of signatures and they turned them in to state officials today. So it looks like we've got our first recall.
Is that Senator Dan Kopenke?
It is Senator Kopenke.
Okay, I've had him on the show a couple of times. Well, this story just keeps on giving. I'm not making light of it by any stretch. It's fascinating how it's moving along and the twists and turns that it keeps taking. Mary, I can't thank you enough for spending some time with us after a long day covering the government in Wisconsin for the Wisconsin State Journal.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Thank you. Mary Spacuzza, as I said, a government reporter with the Wisconsin State Journal, keeping track of all that's going on there for us. We'll be back with more Fritz and Friends on 1320 WILS after this.